Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. Today's edition of the CF Podcast is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags. You can check them out online at heartlandflags.com. You can check out their showroom at 3719 Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines, or give them a call at 515-282-7603. Christmas is over, but we're getting close to Valentine's Day, Rob Gray. Mm-hmm. If you want to get your house looking nice, you want it to look inviting, you want somebody to say, hey, there's some love in that house, you can get yourself a nice little heart flag to put out in front, and you could get that right down there at Heartland Flags in Des Moines. They've got a flag for any occasion, any sport, pretty much anything that you could ever want. Heartland Flags, the sponsor of today's edition of the Seniors.
Yep, they've got it all covered on all fronts, holidays, hobbies, every sports team. Yeah, it's all there on the website for you to see, or obviously walk in and see in person as well.
Like when Iowa State goes down to Norman and picks up a big win over the Oklahoma Sooners. We actually had this backwards. When the Cyclones pick up a big win over the Oklahoma Sooners, you want to put your flag out in front and support the Cyclones.
Yeah.
You just give Heartland Flags a call and you'll be able to get that done.
You got
to
do it. I wonder how many people were putting those out there, like maybe after and that 21-1 run to close the half. It's just such a crazy Big 12 season, man. If you're off at all, no matter who you're playing, whether they're hot, whether they're not, they are going to steamroll you for a while. Everyone in this league. And Oklahoma obviously had been hot with the amazing win at West Virginia, and they won a couple there. And then you come home and you basically shocked them again. I mean, 19 points down, one of Iowa State's biggest comebacks, certainly on the road. And then, of course, we've done it to them at home, too, with one of the most amazing comebacks. So they got something working against the Sooners.
Well, there was a point in that game where I was like, is Iowa State going to even score 20 points in the first half of this game? I mean, they had – what did they have? Did I write it? I wrote it earlier. It's like they had 9 points when Merle Holden checked in with 9 minutes left.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's – I was sitting there. I was like, holy cow. I don't think I can ever remember Iowa State playing this poorly offensively for 10 minutes. I mean, they played as bad as they have ever played since I've been covering the team.
Yeah, it was. I mean, absolutely horrendous and surreal
at
the same time.
It really was just shots just weren't going in, mm-hmm, as much as anything, because they were getting looks. They weren't making them.
And Oklahoma was hitting all their threes. That Buford guy is like career 75% three-point shooter against Iowa State, I think, and about 11% against everybody else. And this is what happens when you got it going on. I mean, they get that stop after stop. Sometimes it's a quick shot. You know, sometimes they might have rushed a few threes. But some of those were just great looks, and they wouldn't fall. And you're not hitting the offensive glass at all at that point. Well, what struck me the most about the game is how they were monsters on the defensive glass during that run. Mm-hmm. And then in the second half, after they fell about behind by, what was it, 8? You know, the same thing happened. You know, that's a team with guts, a team with heart, a team that's shown a few times in the past, although I know that they've shown it to the contrary too, that they can finish. And they clearly did that there against a really rapidly improving Oklahoma team that's got a lot of talent. And, you know, we saw, you know, Naz's defensive performance on Jordan Woodard in the second half. I mean, Woodard's a heck of a player. And, you know, they had it rolling, and then the Cyclones hit them with that run, and it seemed like, okay, game on, it's pretty much equalized, and then the Cyclones didn't let it slip away when OU tried to take control and built that near double-digit lead again.
Well, it's crazy to think, like I said, when Merle Holden checked in with 9:10 left in the first half of the game, and he played the rest of the first half, Iowa State was down 25-9. Oklahoma scored 4 more points during the rest of the half. Iowa State had the lead at halftime.
Yep.
And, I mean, it was, like, immediate when he checked in the game. I think the first possession, maybe, he jumped up and snatched a rebound. And it was just like, whoa, wait a second. We haven't seen this guy in a while. Yeah. And then he came down and it was like where he protected the rim really well. And I was just, like, I kind of leaned back and I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like, he's bringing some energy out here. I mean, this is the Merle Holden that they need, you know? And, it didn't take long where they got that, and he started getting some rebounds. They started getting into some transition opportunities because Oklahoma wasn't getting very easy looks at the rim anymore, and it was just like Merle Holden just sparked this run, and he didn't score a single point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That I mean, obviously a hugely positive development and one built in. And I know you wrote a really good quick story today about, you know, what Coach Prohm said about, you know, Holden just kind of took it upon himself. He'd been frustrated, played hardly at all for, what, four games, and hadn't been producing before that. But he had that internal conversation that I think a lot of guys do. Donovan Jackson's talked about it. Other guys have talked about it in years past. What do I need to do to get to see more time on the floor? And they started that, again, inside their own mind. Mm-hmm. And he was humble and came in and, to paraphrase, said, you know, maybe I had the wrong focus of, hey, I want to score because I was a double-digit scorer before and all that. As you noted in your piece, I mean, that's not what this team needs at this point. They need a guy who can protect the rim. They need a guy who's going to rebound. They need a guy that is going to make it hard for opposing bigs to, A, get second shots,
yeah,
well, to get a good shot up, and then, B, get second shots or third, which we've seen repeatedly in some of these games when the Cyclones couldn't pull it out, that teams are getting second, third, fourth chances constantly. And he was a completely different basketball player. Even when he started, it looked like he was out of sync. He didn't really – you didn't see a whole lot of energy, it yeah. seemed like. And I don't know if that was because he was unsure of himself at the time.
He looked lost a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know, like he just didn't really know what he was – he didn't really know what his role was, you know. Yeah. He was just kind of like floating around out there. And I think there was even some times where the whole team got to be like mm-hmm. that sometimes during the non-conference season.
Yep.
And it's like now you're starting to finally see where everybody's starting to kind of realize what their role is, like what they need to do for the team to be really good. And, you know, I sometimes – everybody wants to be the star. And I sometimes think that there just aren't that many people that – or guys that realize, okay – you know, I want to be the star, but at the same time, if I just go out there and I do my best to help the team win, I'm going to be celebrated regardless. Like, if you think about a lot of the guys that are, if you say, who's your favorite Cyclone? Like, say, name some of your favorite Cyclones. There's obviously the obvious ones, the Pfizers and the Tinsleys and the Niangs. But then you're even going to hear about people like Cantrell Horton, or you're going to hear about like, for me, it's like Dustin Hogue is one of my favorite guys to ever watch mm-hmm. That I've watched play at Iowa State. Or, some of those other guys that they were good, but they weren't very – I mean, they weren't like the superstar, but everybody loved them because they did the dirty work and they did the things that help you win. When they made a play, you know, okay, that guy, he wants to win the game. You know, he's out there. He's just trying to do what he has to do to win the game, even though he might not be the most talented guy on the floor.
Well, perfect example. A lot of the people that and I very much appreciated the kind comments of the Where Are They Now feature I did on Cantrell Horton said he's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Because he epitomized what you just said. He was one of the nation's top scorers as a JUCO player. Got attracted to Iowa State. Realized that wasn't really his role with the team, given who was on the roster. Mm-hmm. So he just steadily produced in so many different ways, particularly on the defensive end. And those are favorites for a reason. Like you said, I mean, you don't have to put up gaudy statistics. And I think the key here is now that Holden has shown what he's truly capable of, guys like Daryl Bowie and Solomon Young have to say, hey, I'm going to take this up another notch and be happy that Holden came in and did what he did. If the team is as cohesive as it needs to be, those guys have to be A, happy that Holden performed well,
yeah,
even if it meant diminished for them in that game. Because as we've seen, Bowie bided his time. He was coming off the bench for a long time. He played better than Holden, therefore he started. Well, there's a back and forth here, and it makes everyone better, makes a team better, and I would hope everyone happier.
Well, and that's something we've heard Matt Campbell talk a lot about with the football team, you know, of wanting to put together the best roster possible to create the competition that pushes other people, that there's constantly that thought in the back of your head, like, my job isn't safe,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that could kind of be the best thing that you can have on a sports team. That might be the best thing you can have on a sports team, where it's like, my job isn't safe, you know, yeah. I have to elevate my game if I want to be the best, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
And or if I want, I have to elevate my game if I even want to get on the court. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that Holden saw, where it's like, you know, maybe this isn't exactly coming into the season how I imagined everything going, but if I even want to be out there, if I want to better my situation for the future, then I have to do this in order to help this team win, you know? And And that doesn't necessarily mean scoring 10 points a game. It doesn't mean getting a bunch of dunks and stuff like that. It means setting screens, spacing the floor, playing defense, and just being active, having energy, and going out there. And when you go on the floor, everybody on the other team should know, holy crap, that guy's going to try and beat us up right now. You know, like, he's the guy that's coming out here to try and change the attitude of everybody else that's out here.
Exactly. And, I mean, if your goal is just to play, I mean, you're not approaching sports in the right way. If somebody's going to play better than you, what does that mean? Are you going to sulk? Are you going to say, oh, man, I should be playing? Or do you say, he's playing better, that means I've got to play better. And if he starts playing better again, you know, that's the constant, you know, ebb and flow, the fluctuations of, you know, self-improvement and team improvement. And, again, I just hope that everybody is reflecting on that in a positive sense, because that team that played the final 28 minutes against Oklahoma is, as we've seen early in the season in close losses at Gonzaga, at Baylor, et cetera, is good enough to play with and perhaps beat anyone. But if there's anything about why am I not on the floor, or I'm not, you know, you're going to be on the floor if you're producing. And I'm sure that was part of the soul searching for Merle Holden. He had to have known he wasn't Purdue. I mean, it's right there on the stat sheet, and that had to have been very frustrating. And then you don't play it. Then you want that chance, and then you go inside your own head and say, well, what can I do to produce in a different way? And like you said, when guys do that, they endear themselves to a fan base and to a coach, and they get that other chance. But if they just throw up their hands and say, well, this isn't fair, you know, that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, for sure. I guess what were some of your other takeaways from the game? It was a jumbled mess of a game, I'll say. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you thought, but.
No, I agree. And I wasn't sure after that big run to take the 1-point lead at halftime how the second half would turn out, because we've seen quote-unquote momentum evaporate or build out of seemingly nothing and then gone again so many times. And I think, again, that speaks to the skill and the of the Big 12 top to bottom and talent level. So I wasn't sure. When they got down 8, I kind of thought maybe it wasn't going to happen, but they could say, you know, it's not moral victory when you say, well, at least we fought back and did some good things.
Right.
And it's not wrong to be happy about those things, but you have to say if that did happen and you weren't able to finish it, you know, it would be trending that more games end up that way than on the positive side down the stretch. So it's huge to do that. I think Oklahoma had hit at such a high rate earlier, and they missed some shots that were decent shots. Clearly the defense was better.
Yeah.
But some of the shots they were hitting before just didn't fall. And that's how I was taking on such a big hole, too, is shots that they frequently would make. Open looks in the corner or on the wing just didn't fall. So jumbled mess is a great way to describe it. I think the energy that Iowa State had, you know, scraping out all those steals again. What did Naz have, 6?
Yeah.
You know, Monte continuing to do that at a high rate. Other guys, too. That's what strikes me about this team. And you can't – it doesn't have to be just when they're small, because we saw some guys in there down in the paint, really, you know, whether it be fronting guys at times to get in position or Burton getting around getting around a guy, posting him up. They really, really were good at disrupting the basketball. And that's what struck me the most. They were – the high energy that they had and just how they were totally intent on creating turnover after turnover after turnover and leading into transition with that.
What'd you think of Deontay's play? It was weird to me, because there was a point where they showed his stats on the screen, and he was like 9 of 12 with 22 points, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
It seemed like he hadn't been playing well, but then all of a sudden you look at the stats and they don't really reflect that. And I was like, I don't know. It still seemed like he was kind of hurting them at times, but at the end of the day, I mean, he made the plays that he needed to make for them to be able to win.
It seems like when he does something that maybe could hurt them a little bit or doesn't look like the best decision on a single possession, for some reason with him, it feels like he's done it on 4 possessions for that every one he does it. And I'm not sure why that is, but I get that same vibe. And then you, what, was it 27 of his 31 points in the second half?
Yeah. And I think
he had all his free throws.
Yeah.
I mean, he attacked the rim. Sometimes he goes in, despite of his athleticism, and it seems like he's going in at an odd angle and just kind of laying it up in a weird way. But he went in and attacked. And when he does that, I mean, that second half was a performance for the ages, really.
Well, like that dunk that he had to tie the score at 79,
yeah,
that was as good a play as I think he's made all season long. Because mm-hmm. he went straight at the rim, and it was like, get in front of me. If you don't, I'm slamming it. And yep. That's what he did. And I was talking to Adam about this after the game, and he even told me, he's like, he was the only guy I thought that we had on the floor that was hurting us at times. But then you look at it, and he's the leading scorer.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's weird. He's so up and down that mm-hmm. it's hard to even, in one game, it's hard to even pinpoint, okay, well, did Deontay play well today?
Yeah.
You know?
No, I get that. And I think it ties into what I talked about, because I think there's a perception that when he does have a bad play or fails to rotate down on somebody or something, it feels like it's happened a bunch of times in a row, whereas it was that one, and then he comes down and scores. I mean, and also the fact that he has a lot of no, yes moments,
yeah,
maybe ties into that whole, I know, misperception of what's going on, because some of the threes he hit, you're like, oh my gosh, that doesn't, went in.
I don't even know that I would call it like a misperception. Like, I don't even know what to call it, you know, because it's
a phenomenon.
Right, because you can't really, I don't feel like you can call it a misperception, because it's definitely true. And I don't feel like we're the only ones that probably think that. But then at the same time, he does so many things that you're just like, that shouldn't have worked, but somehow it worked. And it's like, all right, whatever, we'll just move on.
You know?
Like, I just don't know. He's such a confusing player.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, confusing. Because, man, when he is...
Confounding.
Yeah, when he's on, I mean, it's very enigmatic, because he is on or then off. I still think, though, that we do read into more, you know, it's when he's off, it seems like he's been off for a long time. I don't know what that is, and that's, like I said, that's a very perplexing thing, but I've noticed that in my own mind, where it's like, man, he's had a few bad possessions, and I kind of look back at it a little bit, and I'm like, no, he actually scored on that one, and did the, you know, so I don't know. Suffice it to say, he had a great game. And he also was a key catalyst to that comeback.
This is my last point that I'll make about the Oklahoma game. When they were down 6 in overtime, I thought they were sunk. Those back-to-back possessions by Naz, the get the and one, and then drill the long 3. I mean, those were heart of a senior moments, dude. Like, those just flat out, I was like, I don't know. I don't think they can win this one. You know, they got to overtime, and it's like, I don't think they're going to win an overtime on the road in Norman. And he put the team on his back for those couple possessions, and he, I don't think he was going to lose that game.
Yeah, I agree. And the end one was interesting, because
it was funny, because Fran said, they could use a 3 right here.
Not necessarily a 3-pointer, but a 3-point play.
Yeah.
Then he goes in, it was a little reverse, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That, gets fouled, hits the free. I mean, it was like Fran was a prophet there. And, yeah, I mean, there are clearly, in my mind, two really, really, really just straight-up heart and soul guys on the team, and that's Monte and Naz. Matt has a lot of heart and grit. As well, it's the numbers, you know, the seniors, obviously heart and soul, but those guys have at times taken things over in ways that maybe you hadn't seen them do it in the past. And clearly Naz has had a bunch of game winners and everything, but his development in driving the basketball and getting to the free throw line more than in the past, you know, he'll tell you he used to do that all the time, but his role obviously was different. Iowa State, more or less a spot-up guy.
Yeah.
And now he's brought that element of his game back with the vengeance. And, yeah, those – you're right. When it got to 6 again there, I had a little bit of that too. It's like, oh, you do all that to get back in the game, and then how are you going to chip away when you know, Oklahoma's going to defend you well. And, two very heroic plays by Naz.
All right, turning the page now. Kansas State coming to town tomorrow night, Tuesday night. I thought this was going to be Bruce Weber's last year.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden he's got the Wildcats playing well. What's your read on this game? Like, I think Iowa State's going to win. I do. And I think that they might win not convincingly, but I think they'll win comfortably. Because I still, I don't know if I believe in Kansas State yet.
Yeah. I mean, I believe in them, but I don't believe in them in Hilton at this time.
Yeah.
I
think Iowa State's getting some momentum going again.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I've thought that before, too. And then they come right crashing back down.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've been impressed. I thought the exact same thing. I think everybody thought that Bruce Weber's time, even throughout last season, they almost saw him as a dead man walking a little bit because of the issues with Foster and all that. I mean, such a great player, but clearly they couldn't get on the same page. Foster wasn't doing things he wanted him to do. They part ways. You have this roster that is I'll say this for his teams. They've always been scrappy, but it seems like a depleted roster. And yet, as Coach Prohm said today, every single one of those guys that come back, and they do have a lot of guys back, from a Wundu to Brown to Wade, Stokes, others.
Those are a lot of names you've heard before.
Yeah,
if you're an Iowa State basketball fan.
And they've gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not always necessarily on the stat sheet, but you see some of them hitting big shots at key times for them, and whereas maybe they weren't in the past. I mean, you got five guys scoring between 10.3 points and 12.8 per game. I mean, that's a team, and they're always going to defend you. They're tough as nails in Manhattan. The belief part with me is kind of like when they take it on the road.
Yeah.
They can fight you, but, you know, when you need that extra push to 11, as one of my old school This is Spinal Tap, a great mockumentary that was made well before most people's time. We needed that extra push off the cliff to 11. Guy had an amplifier, and instead of 10, he numbered it to 11.
Oh.
And he thought that was important. And the director said, well, why didn't you just make it progressively louder to 10? Sorry for the aside, but when they need that, I'm still not sure they're a team that can do that much on the road, and I don't think they'll do it at Hilton on Tuesday either.
Yeah. I think that that's going to be a tough one to go down and win in the Octagon.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going to be able to win this one on Tuesday. Who would you say is the most important player for Iowa State?
Against in this particular game?
In this particular game, yeah.
I think the most important player, because we know what we're going to get from Monte Morris. We're learning more of what we're going to get from Naz, Matt. I mean, this season.
Yeah.
I mean, we've always been reasonably sure. I think it's going to be this game and almost every game. What are we going to get from the five?
Uh-huh.
What are we going to get from either that three-headed, you hope, monster, or, you know, a couple of them? You know, you got to be in there because Kansas State can get in there and board the basketball on both ends. And if what Merle Holden did to bring himself back into play has spread to everyone else wanting to be better and tougher and nastier down in the paint on both ends, I think that's going to be the key. And I think they will be bare minimum solid in this game, which is why I'm with you in predicting at least a reasonably comfortable win.
We will be back tomorrow on Tuesday with CFTV Live at 12:15. Adam and I will go back over some film from the Oklahoma game. And then we'll record On the Trail. That will be available on Wednesday. Thursday, as always, check out the Cyclone Fanatic radio show, 6 to 7 on 1460 KXNO. I think we've really hit our stride with basketball season starting. I don't know if you've been listening to the show, but I feel like it's the last 2 weeks have been two of our better weeks of the season. And then, of course, we will have full coverage leading up to Iowa State's game against Vanderbilt as well on Saturday. You got anything else to add, Rob?
No, I agree. You're hitting your stride, and hopefully the Cyclones continue to hit theirs.
There we go. Have a great week, everybody, and thanks for listening.